You could turn your Bibles to John 11, from verse 17 to 27, and in the pews, the page number is 1079. Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
Resurrection Sunday. Think about Christmas. I know it's a bit far back or far in advance, wherever we are in our calendars and in our thinking. But think about Christmas. We prepare for Christmas for months and months on end, don't we? I mean, Christmas season lasts a good 2 months or so, doesn't it? And Christmas Day is the biggest gift-giving day of the year. Yet, Christmas is not the biggest event on the Christian calendar. Today is Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday is the biggest day in our Christian faith. The very foundation of all Christian doctrines hinges on the event that took place on Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to actually go back to a pre-Palm Sunday bit of ministry of Jesus. So Jesus ministered there to his friends, Mary and Martha. Then Palm Sunday happened. Then all the other events happened. Good Friday came, Easter Sunday came. But today, before we do that, I want to take us back where our story starts. With Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, going to the tomb with the hopes of finding the body of Christ and anointing it with spices. The account in Matthew is like this, Matthew 28 from verse 1, and we'll go up onto the screen. After the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Can you imagine that? Shaking and becoming like a dead man. Goodness. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." I mean, imagine what that must have sounded like. Don't be afraid. I mean, they see this heavenly, angelic being looking like lightning. Bright, white, shining. Don't be afraid. Jesus isn't here. He has risen. Can God's people say hallelujah? He has risen just as he said. Isn't that powerful? He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Do you mean that you doubted for one split second that he'd rise again? He said it. He said it. He'll do it. And folks, God's word the Bible. In the pews, they're Bibles. We don't often use Bibles in today's world. We've got the Bible app. We've got them on our phones. We've got them on our tablets, wherever else. By tablet, I mean an iPad, not, you know, the paracetamol. But I wonder, could you take your pew Bible this morning? Could you take your pew Bible? The scripture says, he has risen just as he said. This book contains a lot of things God said. That God's also saying now. That God will say in the future. And just like the resurrection was a future word of the Lord, there's the end times. There's the second coming. They are all future words of the Lord. And he will accomplish all of those just like he said. Hold the Bible in your hand, if you will. This book is full of amazing promises. This isn't a dead history book. Even if you love history, I happen to love history. But this word, this is the word of God. This book is the word of God. His word is living. His word is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides marrow. It gets into our bodies. It gets into our lives. Can I encourage us as God's people? Not only to read the Bible, but believe it. Not only to say, oh, it's metaphorical. No, it's true. There's nothing metaphorical about Christ's resurrection. There's nothing metaphorical about Jesus coming back again. There's nothing metaphorical about the saints rising to meet him in the air. The resurrection must have seemed impossible to those disciples. But the angel said he did it just as he said. He's going to do it again and again and again, just as he said. And there are promises in this word for every single human being on this planet. And the amazing thing about the promise is this, that the promise is not underwritten by you. It's not underwritten by me. It's not underwritten by the church. It's not underwritten by church hierarchy. It's not underwritten by a bishop or a pope or a team leader somewhere in some glass office. Every word in the Bible is underwritten by God. And there's one thing God cannot do. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. There's another thing God cannot do. He cannot let you down. Every word is true. Even if you're in a Friday of your life, it doesn't mean that it's not true. Because Sunday is coming. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. I don't know about you, but that sounds like my Christian life. Afraid, but filled with joy. You know, when you live according to the word, it doesn't make always perfect, logical, common sense, human reasoning sense of a way. And something in you goes, are you sure that's right? But there's a joy that comes from the Holy Spirit that says, yes. It's like when we gave our lives to Jesus for the first time. There's that spiritual tug of war. You're not going to become all religious like them, are you? You're not going to become a happy clappy Christian. You're not actually going to walk down Palmerston Road with your Bible under your arm going to church on Sunday. I'm not saying walk down Palmerston Road with the Bible under your arm. Be the Bible. Be the Bible, because you and me are the only Bible some people may ever read. So let's be it. What's going on? Okay, let's try this one. Okay, well, where are we going now? So what is the resurrection? Just to be perfectly clear, a resurrection is when someone dies and then comes back to life again. That's what Jesus did. And this morning, from our reading, and we're going to get to our reading in a bit. But before we get to our reading, I've got some more things to say. In Revelation 1 verse 18, Jesus declared, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever." Jesus didn't just rise from the dead to die again. He rose from the dead to live forever and ever. But before he rose from the dead to live forever and ever, he was eternal before then. So he's eternal afterwards. Isn't it amazing? He is eternal. And look what the word says, "And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Do you have keys in your pocket this morning? Got keys? What keys do you have? You've got your house keys. Yeah, got your house keys? Yeah, or too scared to get them out. Don't worry, we won't be swapping house keys. But what does your house key tell you? A, it's yours. So everything is Christ's because he holds the keys. You might not be a Christian yet, but you don't know you're going to be a Christian because he holds the keys. You may be going through a terrible, tough time right now. Could be in your health, could be in your finances, but he holds the keys, which means the one who holds the keys is the one who has the authority. So he has the authority ultimately over your life. And friends, the Bible doesn't go into any scientific reasoning for the resurrection of Jesus. But instead, what it describes is the ultimately transformed lives of people because of the resurrection. And that is the proof he's risen from the dead. That is a proof we are Christian. How do we know we are Christian? By our fruit. You see, if God's called me to be a pear-bearing tree. Do trees bear fruit? Help me out here. We're on the right track, okay? I'm not going to be a lemon-bearing, whatever bears lemons, okay? We'll know by our fruit. And throughout the ages, men and women have turned to Christ because they've seen the difference in someone's life. And what is the difference? The difference is the resurrection power of Jesus living in every single one of us. This isn't just for a Sunday. This isn't just once a year. We come, glory, hallelujah, he's risen, and then we go through life again. Oh, I feel like I'm dying. And we all go through life some days feeling like we're dying, don't we? But we can all have the resurrection power of Jesus. This is the gospel we preach. This is why we are not afraid to die. You know, as Christians, we are not afraid to die. It sounds outlandish, doesn't it? But we are not afraid to die. Because the Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We're not afraid to die when our time comes. Because we believe in eternal life. Is there an answer to death? Is there hope beyond the grave? Is there anyone who defeated death? Yes, Jesus Christ has defeated death. And all our philosophy in the world, all our positive mental attitude will never do it. Jesus is the one who has defeated death, and he will do it for you. Jesus said in John 11, thank you, Anne, for accompanying me. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" the context. A little bit earlier on, Jesus had heard that his friend was ill. A messenger was sent out. They didn't have mobile phones in those days to tweet or text or WhatsApp. They had messengers. So the messenger went out as quick as they could, got to Jesus. Jesus finds out his friend, who he loves, and his friend loves him, is sick. So what does he do? Acts so pastoral. He delays. I'm not going right now. He waited 2 days. 2 days. 2 days. I mean, Jesus, where have you been? He gets there. And what does he hear? He doesn't hear the sound of a party. He hears the sound of mourners weeping and wailing. Oh, a terrible, gut-wrenching, sickening sound. Lazarus was dead. So they sent word. Jesus arrived late. The guy died. And maybe you feel the Lord is late in your life. You look around and you see people singing and rejoicing, and you're just not there. You look around and people are happy. People going out, buying Easter eggs, eating restaurants, and you're just not there. Oh, people getting married, and you're just not there. Where is he? Trying to fall pregnant. And you think there's hope, and then there's a miscarriage. Where is he? Just not there. But then we get to verse 4 of John 11, where Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death." Yes, but it did. It did. He arrived at a dead man's mourning. Not awake, a mourning. It did. But later, I read it earlier, but it happened later on, the angel said he's risen just as he said. And we've already established he accomplishes everything he said. But now his friend had died, but Jesus said he wouldn't die. What's going on here? Then he says, no, it's for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Sometimes we go through the now. Sometimes we go through the Friday of our lives. Because Jesus is up to a much bigger and better thing for us. Jesus is up to something that we could never possibly imagine. Because he's going to bring even more glory to the Lord. So this Easter, here at BHBC, we've been looking at Jesus, the hope for tomorrow. But very often, Jesus doesn't feel like the hope for tomorrow. So often in our lives, we hit dead ends, don't we? We're going along just nicely, minding our own business. We're running our race. Hallelujah, glory to God. And we hit an invisible barrier, or sometimes a very visible barrier. And we die in various ways. And from the account of Lazarus, we see we die in various ways. The first way we see we can die in is that we can die in our doubts. We can die in our doubts. Look what Thomas said, also called Didymus. I mean, we didn't like a nickname like that. Said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. I mean, what words of hope for a disciple, hey? I mean, can you feel the doubt? This is hopeless. Let's just also go and die with this Lazarus. It's terrible. And I'm not making fun of being terrible. I know terrible is terrible. And maybe you there this morning, that you can't see beyond the grave. You can't see beyond where you're at. It feels like death. And this is exactly what Didymus said. He said, let us go that we can also die. What a place of doubt. What a place of doubt. And I just want to talk to some very real people for a moment. Everybody I know has prayed a prayer. And they believed God. And they thought God would come through in some way. And he's not, in our view, done what you've asked him to do. And we get bombarded with doubts. Why me, Lord? Everybody I know, we've prayed for someone. And the cancer's got worse. Or the illness has got worse. And suddenly we're like Thomas. On the inside, the doubt rises up. We can die in our doubts. We can also die in our discouragement. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she sent out to meet him. She went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Can you imagine that scene? The scene of discouragement. Now, I'm not even going to go meet him. I'm going to just stay at home. Step me down. I'm talking to real people this morning. God's talking to real people this morning. We can die in our discouragements. Maybe you feel like Mary felt this morning. You're not dead in your doubts, but you're dead in your discouragement. You don't see anything good going to break out for you anytime soon. Why bother? By staying at home, she was saying, why bother? I'm not going to meet this Jesus. He's let me down. I'm discouraged. If the person's next to you sleeping, it's now time to nudge them and say this word's for you. Don't sleep. There's nothing. Sometimes we feel that there is nothing we can do about it, and we die in our discouragements. You think, I can't change. I can't break this addiction, you may think. I'm always going to be in a dead-end job, you may think. Maybe you think your marriage is never going to improve. And then we all, in a way, very British. We come along and we have a facade. And everything's always okay. How are you doing? All right. You're all right, I'm all right, you're all right, I'm all right, you're all right, I'm all right. And we exchange all right. You know, some of us that are on being extreme British will go, hallelujah, I'm all right. And some of us with a bit of African culture will go, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm all right. But really on the inside, you're feeling discouraged. We can die in our discouragement. We can also die in the delay. Look at John 11:17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. That's hopeless. I mean, he was already beginning to stink. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, he wouldn't even cook a piece of food that was already beginning to stink. Never mind try and bring a resurrection to somebody that was already beginning to stink. Look at 11:21. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's an amazing statement. That's an amazing statement. Why is it amazing? Because there's actually faith in that statement. If he had been here, she knew Jesus could heal. And she knew that Lazarus would be raised on the last day. But she had no idea the glory God was going to get through his son, Jesus. Because Jesus had a bigger picture. Jesus had a bigger plan. Hallelujah. You may be praying for healing and it might feel like God's just not doing it for you. And you feel dead in the delay. If that's you today, I believe I have a word for you. Just because God is delaying doesn't mean God is denying you. That's for someone here. Just because God is delaying doesn't mean God is denying you. Look at John 11:21-22. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Look at those words. Just go back, please. Even now. Even now. Even now when it looks impossible. Even now when it looks like the end has come. Even now when there is something that is dead, the resurrection power of the Lord will bring it back to life again. And look what Jesus said to her in the next bit. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you notice something amazing there? Jesus didn't say to her, with no disrespect, he did not say this, I can do the resurrection thing. Or I have the ability, or it's within my scope of my ministry to do this resurrection thing. So what did he say to her? What did he say to her? I am. I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, the resurrection is a person. The life we have is a person. And his name is Jesus. Most of us will have no problem accepting that the life we have is Jesus. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The life's the easy bit. Because we're living. But the resurrection. He is the resurrection in our life every moment of every day. So the resurrection is not just an event. It's a person. It's not just what he does. It's who he is. Dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. If you and me have the resurrection power of Jesus living in our lives, no matter what circumstance we walk into, the life of Jesus will flow. You can walk into a highly critical environment and you can turn it by the resurrection power of Jesus in your life. You can walk into an environment that seems there's no way out. The resurrection power of Jesus. This is supernatural. This is supernatural. And we are called as Christians to live naturally supernatural. The supernatural power of God Almighty should be part of our natural life every moment of every day. In conclusion, maybe you feel dead on the inside. Maybe you've lost faith. Maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you're dead in the delay or in discouragement or in your doubts. Maybe you feel trapped in the tomb and you just can't get out. Easter Sunday reminds us the stone's been rolled away. The stone's been rolled away. There is life for you in Jesus' name. And the same voice that cried out to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. There's a preacher who once joked on this. He said, just as well, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Because there was so much power of the Lord operating then that imagine every grave coming forth. And maybe imagine some old-timer coming out and the wife saying to Jesus, no, you should have just left him right where he was. Okay, I know that's a joke, okay? But come forth. And this morning, Jesus will say to you and to me, come forth. Your sins are forgiven. Not because you're good enough, but because he is good. You can be set free, not because you've got it sorted out, not because you are strong, but because he is strong. You can feel his presence every moment, every day in your life. Not because we deserve it, but just because he is good and he loves us. The resurrection is not what Jesus does. The resurrection is who Jesus is. And Jesus in us is the hope of glory, the scriptures tell us. So you have the resurrection power of the living Savior on the inside of you. How would your life change if you lived according to that every day? Why does this matter? Why does this matter? Why preach this today? Because God in his love and his mercy did something for us. We were incapable of doing ourselves. He died that sinless, spotless sacrifice. He brutally suffered at the hands of his very own creation. On a hill, he created himself. On a tree, he made himself. And the earth went dark and shook. And everyone who had hoped maybe started to fall into despair and into doubt and into delay. They didn't realize it was Friday and Sunday was coming. God would be glorified through the death as Jesus was raised. I'm going to end with John 11, 25. And there it is. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Do you know that we're going to live even though we die? Yes. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. If we live by believing in him, we're never going to die. We're going to walk into eternity. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then the bit comes that we all overlook. Do you believe this? Brings it back down to personal choice. Jesus can raise the dead and it may not affect you. Jesus will... It may not affect one person, and the person right next to that person is transformed forever. It's about our choice. It's about our choice. The choices we make. Do you believe this? And I believe the Lord asking us all that question this morning, do you believe this? So let me wrap my message up by asking you a few questions. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came from heaven to live on earth 2,000 years ago? Secondly, do you believe that when he died on the cross, he died in your place, bearing your punishment and paying for your sins? Thirdly, do you believe that on Easter Sunday morning, he literally, physically, bodily rose from the dead, never to die again? Fourthly, do you believe that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God the Father? Fifthly, do you believe that Jesus is truly the resurrection and the life, and that he is able to remove the terror of death for those who trust in him? And sixthly, are you willing to stake your life on the answers you've given to the first five questions? Let us pray. Two different prayers this morning. The second prayer will be for those who maybe have drifted from the Lord or never come to the Lord. And he wants to let you know this morning that he loves you. That being a Christian or a disciple of Jesus, more accurately, is not about becoming a religious nut, but it's about becoming everything he has called you and destined you and placed you on this earth to be. And he'll take you right into eternity when the time is right for you one day. And it's all based in his love for you. He loves you. And only wants the best for you. That's the good news. He only wants the very best for you. And to get the best, you've got to be in Christ. Sure, tough times may come, but he will see us through. Because he is the resurrection and the life. So you be thinking about that, if that's you this morning. Some of us may be in an even now moment. Even now. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever he asks. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. You could either be living this morning in a number of ways. You could be dead in your doubts. You could be dead in the delay. We could be dead in discouragement. Or you can say, Lord, even now, in the midst of my turmoil and pain, I'm going to believe that you're the resurrection and the life. I make that choice this Easter Sunday to live in your power. This is for Christians. This is for those who love him. Even now, I believe. Even now. And then, maybe we need to say, over to you, Lord. Come and work. Come and do your miracles in my life, in my world, in this world. If that's you, if you are in an even now moment, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you where you're seated. Just raise your hand and say, Kevin, that's me. Please pray for me. I'm in an even now moment. Yes, anybody else? Yes, anybody else? I'm talking to real people this morning, going through real stuff in an even now moment. Yes, thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down all over the place. Hands are going up. Anybody else? Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Lord, I want to pray for all the precious people here this morning who responded to this even now moment. And I pray that the power of the resurrection may become a reality in their lives, in every aspect of their lives. We bind and break and cast out the works and the deception and the lies of the enemy. And we ask, Lord, for the truth of Jesus to be revealed, the life of Jesus to be revealed, and the resurrection power of Jesus to be revealed and made a reality in every life. And I pray for us all, Lord, that we would walk in the victory of Easter, that Jesus is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Let's keep our eyes closed. Now I'm going to pray for those you've been waiting for this prayer. You've never given your life to Jesus and you want to do it this morning, or you want to recommit. Three simple things. A, B, C. Admit you're a sinner. Lord, I've sinned. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead for you. And C, confess Christ. Confess Christ. And we call this, I don't call this, Jesus calls this in John 3, being born again. Your life starts again in Jesus. A clean slate, a future in Christ. While every eye is closed, head is bowed, this is a holy moment. You may feel a tug of war going on the inside of you. You may feel, well, you know, I'm not going to do this, but something feels like it should be doing this. I'm going to say, go with God. God's voice brings peace. God's voice brings victory. God's voice brings light. God's voice brings purpose. God's voice brings truth and destiny. Don't go with the panic. Go with the peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The devil is, in my book, the Prince of Panic. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, according to the Bible. Whatever you're going through, even now, you can live in peace. Peace with God, peace with people. If you want to pray that prayer, pray this after me. And let's all join in. Let's say, dear Jesus, thank you for Easter. Thank you for Easter. I admit I need you. I admit I need you, that I am a sinner, that I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. I believe you died for me and rose again from the dead and rose again from the dead. And today I confess Christ. Today I confess Christ to be my Lord and Savior. From this moment on and forevermore, I'm a child of God. If you prayed that prayer, quickly put up your hand and take it down again. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to remember you in my prayers this week. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Be brave. Come on. He hung publicly for you. We can just say yes. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Wow. What an awesome Easter Sunday with so many people recommitting and committing. Anybody else this morning saying, I prayed that prayer. Even if you don't know all what it entails, it doesn't matter. Just make a start. Nobody knows what the whole race ahead in any race entails, but you're all going to make a start. Make that start. Make that start. Heaven's waiting for you. Heaven's waiting for you. Heaven's waiting for you. Heaven's waiting for you. If that was you, put up your hand and say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Thank you for every hand that went up here this morning, every heart that was raised to you, Lord. I pray this, the seal of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A very big congratulations to everyone who responded to Jesus this morning, whether it's a recommitment or for the first time. And we know that when somebody comes to the Lord, the Bible tells us, all of heaven rejoices. What do you do now that you've given your life to the Lord? Well, if you're local, this can be your local church.